We'll conclude our series in the circle of apostasy with what I have entitled The Devastated Home. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. These words are all too familiar to us as Seventh-day Adventists. We know what the Bible says. We know that what God hath joined together, no man is to put asunder. The marriage is for keeps. It's to last until death. And nowhere will you find in the Scriptures that it's okay to separate if a mate is spiritually dead. For Peter says quite the opposite, remember? Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. 1 Peter 3:1. No, divorce is not the answer, especially for a Seventh-day Adventist. For it's to play right into the very hands of Satan to do such a thing. It's been Satan's plan to destroy the family from the very beginning, to turn the children against the parents and the parents against their children. This has the power to destroy an entire civilization. The marriage vows must either be taken seriously or the marriage becomes no more than a mockery to God and society. We should remember well the statement concerning marriage and the French Revolution, as quoted on page 270 of The Great Controversy, because the time has come again, I believe, when you and I are seeing the reenactment of what took place then. Listen to what the prophet wrote, and I quote, "France presented also the characteristics which especially distinguished Sodom. During the Revolution, there was manifested a state of moral debasement and corruption similar to that which brought destruction upon the cities of the plain. And the historian presents together the atheism and the licentiousness of France as given in the prophecy, quote, intimately connected with these laws affecting religion was that which reduced the union of marriage, the most sacred engagement which human beings can form, and the permanence of which leads most strongly to the consolidation of society, to the state of a mere civil contract of a transitory character, which any two persons might engage in and cast loose at pleasure. If fiends had set themselves to work to discover a mode of more effectually destroying whatever is venerable, graceful, or permanent in domestic life, and of obtaining at the same time an assurance that the mischief which it was their object to create should be perpetuated from one generation to another, they could not have invented a more effectual plan than the degradation of marriage," end quote. Some of us are evidently not aware of what is going on within our great society today, not to mention our own church, where the gays are now voicing their own rights to be heard, and where some Seventh-day Adventist clinics or family planning counselors even supply the pill to girls in our educational institutions to keep our schools free from unwanted pregnancies. Some seem to believe it also helps to maintain a good public image when girls no longer have to be let go because they have disgraced the cause of Christian education. As a case in point, just last year, 657 young ladies representing only one of our colleges were recorded as being on the face-saving device, not to mention some of our academies. Only God knows how many are actually on the pill. These are only those we had recorded. This, of course, is not to imply that the men or fellas in our schools are free from the same demoralizing abominations that led to the destruction of Sodom, for it again affects all of us. The whole body is sick. We become corrupt together. And the change has taken place so slowly that we were not even aware of it. Now, before you point a finger at our young people as I just did, perhaps we should think again as to why they have such loose morals. Has there been a sinister hand at work behind the scenes working to tear down the structure of the Adventist home? I think we can agree there has and still is such a hand. You see, our young people, not all of whom are bad, are being misguided. We as their leaders have helped to lead them astray. They're merely acting as we encouraged them to act. You remember some of our leaders in past years tried to warn us not to turn toward Egypt. We didn't need to go to Babylon for higher education. We should have listened to the prophet, but we didn't. Now, as a result, we, and I mean even some of us who will listen to this tape, are guilty. We haven't followed the counsel on health reform, for example, and that goes for rest and exercise as well as diet. It's an all-encompassing program, not just staying away from meats. Some of us, if not all of us, should stay away from trying to get our health out of tin cans. One day we may discover that the substitutes for meat have been harder on the system than the real thing. I believe God would advocate neither. We haven't followed the counsel on dress reform either. We wouldn't be caught dead in a miniskirt, though. And yet, we would think nothing of donning our bathing suits and parading up and down the beaches of America. Then there's the educational reform and our medical reform, etc., etc., etc. Now, our young people are simply living on a lifestyle that we have taught them to live. Remember the art of living. And this is why marriage is not for keeps today. You see, only 13% of the homes in America. That's not a religious poll either. That's a cross-section of our population have a family unit today. Only 13%. And by this, I mean where the father goes out and earns the living while the mother stays at home with the children and trains them in the way that they should go. You see, we don't realize the brokenness of our own homes. It was all part of a master plan. Yet we've fallen into a trap and didn't even know it. In 1980, our economic world went crazy. Gold shot up to almost $900 an ounce in the U.S. Silver came to nearly $50 an ounce, wiping out billions in paper profits. Inflation reached unheard-of levels such as 18% in the U.S. and is far from being stable at the present. According to the Department of Labor in the U.S., our income rose about 8% in the year 1980. But what you probably didn't realize was that your cost of living for the same period went up nearly 14%. What does all this have to do with the home? Simply this. The American home, Christian or non-Christian, is being attacked from outside forces as well as from within. And thus the present unity of the home is teetering on the brink of final destruction. Both parents are forced to work outside the home today. From the time that first child is born, it's not a matter of having to work to keep up with the Joneses anymore. It's a matter of sheer survival. We've come to the day when truly men's hearts are failing them for fear of what is coming upon the earth. And yet we as Seventh-day Adventists were told years ago that we had nothing to fear, except as we should forget. And I'd like to close by sharing with you something that I think we have forgotten. For we Americans are quick to forget. Just like you will forget most everything that I've said within the next week. Let's go back to the year 1947. Congressman Parnell Thomas, who was at that time chairman of the House Committee on Un-American Activity, moved into Hollywood with the force of a lion. And though it cost him dearly, he dared to bring before the eyes and ears of the nation a conspiracy that had been going on for over 25 years. At the congressional hearings held in Washington, D.C. during that year, thousands of Americans were shocked beyond belief that their Hollywood actors, producers, playwrights, and stars were engaged in destroying the very people that they entertained. The press, which was forced to cover the events, have never lifted the curtain again since. It fell back in 1947. And that's not to say the Reds all left Hollywood. Not at all. In fact, today almost every script that is produced, whether for screen, stage, or TV, has been written to destroy the American people. Their tactics are simple, and you can identify their parts if you will watch and listen. Any film that makes fun of marriage, or shows an act of immorality, or pokes fun at religion, or uses the name of Jesus Christ or God in blasphemy, or uses profanity of any kind, or runs down the type of government that our forefathers founded, or shows violence in any way, verbal or physical, you can rest assured it is communist-inspired, communist-backed. There's money and large sums of it behind all such so-called entertainment. Now, just to drive my point home, I want to refresh your mind concerning some of the individuals who were convicted of having been associated with the Reds during the plot that was uncovered back in 1947. Remember, these were convicted, and many served time as a result. Others fled the country only to return later after the heat was off, taking over their old jobs once again, only at twice their former salary. Here's a list of some, for there were well over 300 that were convicted in all. First on our list is Mr. Charlie Chaplin, a man who has made many Seventh-day Adventists around the nation laugh. Charlie Chaplin, who also was convicted of having pledged his allegiance to the Soviet Union, to Mr. Joe Stalin himself, via a secret radiogram that obviously failed to remain secret. Number two, Lucille Ball, was found to be a registered card-carrying communist, and her home had been for years serving as the chief headquarters for the chief Hollywood Red activists. Reading on through the list, without comment, Lauren Bacall, Marlon Brando, Eddie Cantor, Joseph Cotton, Olivia de Havilland, Melvin Douglas, Douglas Fairbanks Jr., Henry Fonda, Paulette Goddard, Van Heflin, Katharine Hepburn, Marcia Hunt, John Ireland, George Jessel, Gene Kelly, Peter Lorre, Humphrey Bogart, Lloyd Bridges, Lee J. Cobb, Betty Davis, Kirk Douglas, Florence Eldridge, Jose Ferrer, Ava Gardner, Rita Hayward, Paul Henry, Lena Horne, Chet Huntley, Burl Ives, Danny Kaye, Burt Lancaster, Myrna Loy, Frederick Marsh, Groucho Marx, Burgess Meredith, Henry Morgan, Paul Muni, Gregory Peck, Vincent Price, Edward G. Robinson, Robert Ryan, Pete Seeger, Frank Sinatra, French Optone, Orson Welles, Kenan Wynn, Leonard Bernstein, Harold Clearman, Stanley Cranmer, Mark Connolly, Norman Corwin, Carl Foreman, Ira Gershwin, Johnny Green, Ben Heft, John Huston, Elia Kazam, Louise Milestone, Norman Mailer, Arthur Miller, Clifford Odette, Dorothy Parker, Otto Preminger, Bud Schoberg, Howard K. Smith, Donald Ogden Stewart, Billy Wilder, Langston Hughes, who was famous for his poem, Goodbye Christ, Dalton Corumbo, John Howard Lawson, Lester Cole, Edward Dimitrik, etc., etc., etc. Remember, all of these, without exception, were convicted at the congressional hearings held in Washington, D.C. in 1947. Now, when you realize that most of the Adventist homes in North America have at least one television set, perhaps you can begin to see what Satan has been doing during these many hours of innocent comedy and other acceptable films, quote-unquote, that Adventists watch, or show at Saturday night entertainment at the local school gymnasium, of course, for their children. Excuse the deviation a bit, but I just have to mention that in Canada, according to Dr. Patrick Fisher, who is an eminent scientist in telecommunication and satellite communication of North America, he stated in one of his talks concerning fiber optics that in Canada, in one particular province, in one community, some 5,000 TV sets were sold. Now, there was a small fiber optic, he states, a small fiber lens called a fisheye that was no bigger than the head of a pin that was also attached to the inside of the TV. Meaning that the moment the television was plugged in, whether it was turned on or off, made no difference. The set was activated and was live, being the biggest infringement on the rights of public life that has probably ever been in the history of North America. This small lens was capable and is capable and is working right now while I'm making this tape. It's capable of two-way functions. It not only can see everything in the room, which the television is in, including you, it can also see your reaction to any film that is being shown. And secondly, it can also pick up audible sounds. Should you protest what you see verbally, this too can be carried back then to a centralized computer at the local station or tied into a large computer, if you please, that could control an entire nation. This, of course, could be analyzed then for the good of the community at large. This isn't science fiction. This is reality. And perhaps, if your mind can be stretched one step farther, did you ever wonder why such tight controls have been placed on the building of new homes, apartments, condominiums, etc., as far as government regulations and electricity codes and final hookups are concerned? Did you ever ask yourself why the American male no longer has the right to build his own home from ground up? My brother is a certified electrician for the state of California and also works for IBM. And I wish we had time to tell you on this tape what is going on behind your back. Or I should say, right in front of your face, and you don't even know it. Let me go back to 1947. During those congressional hearings in Washington, the Screen Actors Guild of Hollywood was proclaimed to be, and I quote, the most vicious hotbed of communism in the entire film industry, end quote. And do you know who was the president of the Screen Actors Guild back then? Well, in 1981, he was still president. Only the American people called him Mr. President. That's right, Mr. Ronald Reagan. You see, we Americans do forget, don't we? The devil plays for keeps, and he's out to destroy your home and mine. So we've come full circle, medically, educationally, ministerially, and now the Adventist home is under attack and is being destroyed before our very eyes. What does the future hold for God's people? Is there any hope? I believe there is. There is for those who will awake from their sleep and begin to put forth earnest efforts to save themselves and their families. God is still on the throne, and he will save to the uttermost all who come unto him. But the time is about to close for us as a people. Probation is about to close for Seventh-day Adventists. So if we were ever planning on getting right with God, then let that time be now, for we have not one moment. The watchdog has tried to be faithful in his warning barks. It's been his underlying motive to protect, to save the church from national apostasy, to protect God's children, many of whom are innocently being bombarded by false theories and doctrines that have no place in Adventism. It's also been my purpose as a watchman to warn you or inform you or help you see in reality where we really are. It's not my purpose, on the other hand, in regards to these tapes, to throw mud at any man or to point theological fingers at certain issues that are rampant among us today. It is my sole purpose, again, to simply awaken you to the necessity of studying for yourself as you never have before, to show yourself approved unto God as a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. In the few moments remaining on this particular tape, I'd like to share with you something that may not necessarily be related to the things that we've been discussing here, but I do think that it's imperative that you understand what is going on now and has been for the last number of years. The president signed into law in 1971 certain executive orders that I think may have overtones for Seventh-day Adventists. I'd like to read for you from those executive orders, which I have had for a number of years, but was told that our people shouldn't hear them at this point because it might cause undue concern. But now that the general public are becoming aware of it, I think that perhaps the time has come that you and I need to take a look at what is already law, that it needs no congressional authorization. It does not have to be reviewed by the judiciary. The executive orders are already law, brought into existence by our president back then, Richard Nixon. These are the orders I'd like to share. Number one, provides for a takeover of all communication media, including radio, television, shortwave, etc. Two, provides for a takeover of all electrical power, petroleum, gas, fuels, and minerals. Three, provides for a takeover of all food, resources, and farms. Number four, provides for a takeover of all modes of transportation and control of highways, seaports, etc. Five, provides for mobilization of all civilians into work brigades under government supervisions. Six, provides for government takeover of all health, education, and welfare. And under item number E of that particular executive order, which was 11001, it says education, as used in this order, means the utilization of formal public and private school systems from elementary through college for the dissemination of instructional material guidance. Seven, designation of the Postmaster General to operate a national registration of all persons. Eight, provides for the government to take over all airports and aircraft. Nine, provides for the Housing and Finance Authority to relocate communities, build new housing with public funds, designate areas to be abandoned as unsafe, and establish new locations for populations. 10, provides for the government to take over all railroads, inland waterways, and public storage facilities. And then Executive Order number 11310, published in the Federal Register October 11, 1966, where it states that in all respects, the Attorney General will be an all-powerful commissar or minister with life and death authority over virtually all aspects of American life, end quote. The death decree, already law, just waiting to be enacted by a declaration from the United States President. May God help us to be ready for what's ahead.